Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norma. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norma.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Spirituality 101, the Missing College Course. We are so happy that you have taken the time to turn your attention and your awareness to things spiritual on this Friday afternoon. We are here to support you on your in your quest for spiritual information, for guidance. We are here to bring you innovative ideas so that you can step even closer on this journey. We are here to remind you that it is our belief that all roads lead home. And so here at Spirituality 101, we are not so much invested in the path that you have chosen, but rather in the ways in which we can be of service to you and help you in these times when the earth is requiring that we become more spiritual, when the earth is requiring that we move along with the universal energies of light and love. It's really about getting more light into the planet. And as spirits traversing in physical bodies, we are the absolute we are really the invention, and we are really the vessels through which the incoming light that's coming into the planet can be delivered here. So if there's any way in which we can be of service to you so that we can allow you to access more light and to bring more light onto the planet, we are here to support and to nurture you. Today we're broadcasting live on March the 11th, 2011. It is a day in which there is powerful energy coming into the planet. It is also a day that sadly today we are witnessing some amazing scenes from the disaster in Japan. And so we want to stop for a moment now and hold just a quick moment of silence, and to bring honor and to bring love and light to the people of Japan in this, their moment of trial. Thank you. Today I have a guest. And my guest today, I want you to help me to welcome Betsy Thompson. She's an author, teacher, transformational coach. And Betsy is here today to give us some insight on this fascinating topic, walking through illusions. And I will let her explain that topic to you and to perhaps bring you some highlights from this fascinating collection of stories that she has written, which has touched many, many lives, including my own. Betsy, welcome to Spirituality 101.
Thank you, Norma. I'm delighted to be here, and I love your introduction, and I love that you have that moment of prayer for all those in Japan. It's wonderful. Thank you.
It's a sad day. It's a heavy day. I myself have got some connections in Japan, and so it's personally it's also very heavy for me. And we can only but send out our love and send out and ask God for His mercy.
Right. I have a way I love to explain what is happening on the earth today, in that it is rebirthing, and just like our mass consciousness is rebirthing, and it has to go through this rebirth to stay healthy and to stay around for us to live here for many, many more eons. And it's like the human birth, in that the labor pains start mild and far apart, and as the birth approaches, the labor pains get more intense and closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, a natural process that the earth has to go through. And when the birthing happens, it may be a little traumatic, but after the birth, relative calm prevails. And I love to tell people this story because I love for them to think of it as a natural process that the earth has to do for our sakes, and to have any continuity. It has to stay healthy. It has to renew itself. And it may have a little more healing to do than otherwise, because we haven't been too kind to the earth in many ways.
But
it's all a natural process, and we need to go with the flow, just as you said, to go with the flow, and to know that it is a blessing that is coming. It is not a curse. And so I just wanted to share that. And then you wanted to talk about walking through illusion. Well, I believe that we come here in our bodies to experience matter, or that which is temporary, to mm-hmm. recognize what is real, or that which is felt. In other words, illusion is everything that could be here today and gone tomorrow. So it's everything we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. And reality is everything we feel about what we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. Because for something to be real, it has to be real whether we are in form or out of form. And the only thing that is real both places is emotion. So I believe we're on an emotional journey, and I believe that that's what's really important in our lives. When you think about your childhood, we have millions of moments we don't remember. We remember what was important to us emotionally. And I believe that's what we'll be reviewing when we leave here, what was important to us emotionally, how we grew, how we expanded our hearts while we were here. And the book, Walking Through Illusion, is about the emotional journey of the people who were around Jesus. But it's not a Christian book. It's not about Christianity. It's about these people who lived long before Christianity began, and it's about how they grew together, how they grew from knowing each other, and the challenges they went through, which are exactly like the challenges we have. In fact, one of the purposes of the book, I think, is to show that it doesn't matter when in history or in time that we live, the challenges are always the same for everyone.
It's like there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
I try to tell my grandchildren that we didn't invent any of this stuff. It's been around for a long time. But I want to take you back to something you just said, which is it's very, 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 very interesting for me, particularly in something that I'm teaching on the planet right now, to help us to divorce spirituality from religion. Not so much divorce it, but begin to see it as the two separate things altogether, and that people sometimes get very, very, very caught up in the religious aspect and then fail to kind of turn on. It's almost like there's such magic. Such magic has been applied to the religious that it sometimes take it outside of the context of what's real in terms of those emotions you're talking about.
Right.
These people were biblical figures, but they felt and they heard and they sensed and they had emotions wrapped around those experiences. And I think it's a phenomenal thing that you wrote this book so that we can begin to see them in that real light and in the real sense of the struggles that we are experiencing today.
Right.
And I think that's a powerful thing that you've done.
Yeah, well, you have to remember that if you had asked Jesus what Christianity was, he wouldn't have known what you were talking about. It wasn't in existence then. So it doesn't have anything. The book doesn't have anything to do with religion at all. Not that I think anything wrong with religion. I mean, I think God is in every religion if the people practicing it have love in their hearts.
That's true.
Yeah. So it's just simply that it's a book about. I was curious when I realized that I had this gift of being able to speak with spirits. I was curious about Jesus because I had been raised Episcopalian, but I hadn't been in the church for years. I had left it thinking. Feeling disillusioned, truthfully, and so. But I was curious about what I would hear that when I asked questions, and so that's how really the book started. And I didn't do any research before the books were written. This is the second in a trilogy, and I didn't do any research before I wrote any of the trilogy. Only after I wrote the book, when I was talking with a publisher, and he asked me what research I did, and I said, well, I didn't do any research. And he said, well, Betsy, you have to do research. So I did the research after I wrote the book. And, I know it's backwards, but that's the way it happened for me, and it was kind of amazing because it was so almost everything was verified in what I researched. But
mm-hmm.
It's not a historical accounting at all. It's an emotional accounting, and so that's where the focus is in the book.
So tell us about this emotional recounting. But before you do that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well,
who are you, Betsy?
Well,
I get this feeling that there's some fascinating things behind this walking with illusion.
Well, yeah. My life is sort of split in half. The first half of it was about blaming everybody else for all my problems, starting mm-hmm. with my mother, then my ex-husbands. In fact, anyone I could find to blame, I blamed. And what happened from that is I drew a lot of people into my life who blamed me for their problems.
So you really played the blame game on both sides.
And I didn't take responsibility for my life. I thought that it was always because other people were doing this and other people were doing that. And where that took me was to almost being a bag lady. I was in California having trouble surviving. I was attempting to make my ends meet, and I wasn't making ends meet. And I had heard about the ideas in the Course in Miracles, and I was trying to understand taking responsibility. And part of that process was to acknowledge this gift, which had revealed itself when I was 5 years old. And when I took responsibility for it, and I said, "Okay, I have this gift. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to use the gift and try to figure out my own life. At the same time, I try to help others. But I need a job to support me while I do it." And 3 weeks later, I had the job that I had for the next 18 years that supported me while I wrote all my books.
Wonderful.
So it was almost as if the universe said, if you're ready, we're ready, and here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about, taking responsibility, not only with the gift, but in everything in my life, in terms of not blaming anyone anymore, and seeing how I had created the mess I was in myself. And it was such a powerful position to come from, because once I said to myself, okay, if I created this mess I'm in, then I can jolly well create something else.
Now tell me, how simple, how easy, how difficult was that?
It was a
once
process.
You made the decision.
It was a process. It was a process, like everything, like growth is always a process. It was one baby step at a time. But it was a change in attitude. I decided it was more like, instead of being at the effect of everyone else, I began creating an effect. And how I did that was by listening to what I was hearing, which was about this idea of the mirror idea, that we always face our emotional selves in others. So if I didn't like the people who were in front of me, facing me, I didn't like their emotions or the way they went through life, it wasn't about them changing. It was about me changing the way I was living my life, because we always attract energy back to ourselves that is similar to our own energy. Whatever emotions we are giving out into the universe is sending back to us. Not because the universe is cruel, but because the universe thinks we want what we give to others.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the changes came, and they came gradually. And this job that I had, which was working for the president of Castle Rock, was the exact job I needed, because it was all about taking responsibility and being accountable. You can't be in a job like that and not take responsibility when things don't go perfectly. You have to be accountable. You have to take responsibility. And it was very, actually, when I was, while I was learning to really do this, it was very reassuring to my boss that I was doing this, because I don't think there's anything more frustrating to a boss than trying to tell his assistant what it needed to be done, and the assistant won't take responsibility for doing it. I had to be responsible. I had to, you know, I had to admit that when I made a mistake, I made a mistake, so that he had faith in me that I could improve the mistake. I could improve on it. So it was all very supportive of me, and a great blessing in my life.
Well, I see. You see how time flies. I see that I'm getting a signal with 30 seconds to the break. So if you will hold that thought right there, we will ask our listeners to stay with us while we take a commercial break, and we will be right back.
Okay.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from my modem jack. Jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and today I have a guest. My guest is Betsy Thompson, and she is sharing with us this wonderful book that she has written called Walking Through Illusions. Betsy, are you there?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here, Norma.
Okay. Now, I'm fascinated by the topic. What drew you to that topic? And did you have the topic before you started writing, or did you write and then the topic came?
Well, I feel like it was inspired through me. I feel more like the vehicle. But I was curious, as I said before, about Jesus' life. I wanted to see what kind of answers I would get if I asked these questions. And I was often surprised by what I heard, because it wasn't always the story that I had been told, but I was interested in whether I'd been told what I considered logical or whether it was illogical, and that's what the book is. It's a journey of asking questions and answering them. And every chapter that I was writing, I always thought it was the best chapter I ever wrote, because it was answering all my questions in the moment. So the chapter that I'm writing now in the next book is what my favorite chapter is, because it's answering all the questions I have right now. So, you know, it's very much my journey as well as it is the journey of these people, and I know a lot of people, because we all have similar challenges and we all have similar growth, and we all go through the same things, the same struggles and triumphs, and you know, we're all together in this.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So tell me, how did you choose the stories?
Well, I feel again here that I am the vehicle. I opened my heart to ask the questions, and some of the people in the book are people that you could that are familiar to you in terms of the Bible, like Peter and Paul and John and Thomas and Lazarus, but some of them are not. There are people that just I was inspired, and I don't really know how the inspiration comes any more than an artist knows how the vision comes to them, or a musician knows how the notes come to them. They just have a gift, and they open their hearts, and they hear. And so that's what I do too. And I write about what I'm curious about knowing, and so that's how the book began. In terms of the title of Walking Through Illusion, I feel that was inspired too, because I think when I got that title, I wasn't even sure what it meant myself. And then the book explained what it was all about as it revealed itself and was written.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What would you say is our greatest illusion?
Our greatest illusion is that we think the picture is what matters, when it's really the emotion we have while we're living the picture that matters.
Say that again slowly.
The biggest illusion is that we think the picture is what matters. Like, if only we get this picture, we'll have what we want in life. If only we get that picture, we'll have what we want in life.
Mm-hmm.
But the picture doesn't hold emotion. The picture is just reflective. It can't give us anything except the challenge we need in the moment in terms of emotion. So if you're looking for the picture to bring you satisfaction, if you think you'll finally have love when you get a certain picture, you're never going to find the love you want, because you have to find the love in the picture you have right now. Because the picture you have right now is where your soul believes you can grow and expand, and you can understand what your life's all about. So until you find what's good about what you have, what's good about the picture that you do have, the picture may change, but it's going to offer the same challenge all over again.
Well, you know, we can have a whole interview around just that statement that you just made. That is a powerfully spiritually rooted statement, and something that I wish we can put on T-shirts, put on balloons up in the air, because so many people don't quite get what you just said.
Well, and
the picture.
Yeah.
It's about the feelings. I like the word feelings rather than emotion, because I think we've distorted the word emotion in the world. But it's about the feelings that we experience. What is real is what we're experiencing. And it's about the feelings that we're experiencing and not about the picture. But we live in a very pictorial world. Our mass media is very visual, and so therefore we have been given, or we've been fed, these tremendous amount of images.
Yeah, well, that's the challenge, and I think that's why we come here to be here and to grow, because we believe this is just the challenge we need. And believe me, the first half of my life, Norma, was all about not understanding that I was walking through this illusion, not understanding that the picture couldn't make me happy, because I kept trying to get the picture that I thought would make me happy. And so, you know, when you finally get to the point where you're almost the bag lady, you know the picture is going to make you happy.
I like that. I think it was Oprah Winfrey who once says her prayers and her expectations have become, you know, Lord, please, can I hear it when you whisper it?
Exactly. Well, so then I knew if it wasn't going to be in the picture, then it was going to have to be somewhere else. And so, but I don't look back on those years as being a mistake, because really I had to go through that to get to the point where I was willing to look within for what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go through all that. I went through a couple of pictures of having everything that a person would think they could have, want in this life to be happy, and I wasn't happy. So I had to go through that, and I think that everybody is in the moment they need to be, because, you know, I believe the soul is all-knowing. Our souls are all-knowing. They have the big picture, so they never have us where we don't need to be. If you say somebody's living something they shouldn't live, what you're really saying is that their soul is a dummy, and that's impossible. Their soul cannot possibly be a dummy. Their soul has them where their growth is relevant. And so when I heard that idea, it brought a whole new aspect to the idea of respecting other people's paths to me, because I realized that I don't know what people came here to live. I don't know the goal they had from being here. I don't know what they hope to understand about themselves. All I know is what I'm going through. And so it's taught me to really respect other people's journeys and to trust that they know what they need to live, because it's helped me to trust that I knew what I needed to live.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
That is a mouthful. What is the one thing that you would say in this whole experience of writing this book? What is the one concept, et cetera, that you may have walked away with? Because what I'm hearing here, this was very much a learning, writing this was very much a learning experience for you, as it was a giving experience. So therefore, it was a giving as well as a receiving experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the notion, and I've never heard it put that way, of you started to write a book with the questions that you wanted answered,
yeah,
and the answers began to emerge. What's the one big thing that you learned? What have you walked away with after having written Walking Through Illusions?
I've learned that happiness depends on how I view my life. I can view it and I can look at the mistakes I think I made. I can call them big mistakes, or I can call them hard-earned growth. I can look at myself where I lived mostly as a victim. I can call myself a victim, or I can say that I learned what I needed to learn so that I would not ever be a victim. I think it's all about the attitude you take. And in fact, when I was trying to understand the idea of walking, of mirrors, emotional mirrors, I had an experience in California that really taught me what I was trying to understand. And I had this woman in my life where I worked who was very patronizing toward me, and it was making me very uncomfortable and ruining my day, and I had to figure out what was going on. So I went home, and I took a piece of paper, which I always recommend people doing when they're trying to figure something out, because if they don't write it down, ego comes in and tries to distract us by saying, but you're justified for that behavior, you're justified for your feelings. But the universe doesn't recognize the idea of justification. It only recognizes the emotion that you're putting out there and then sends that emotion back. So I took a piece of paper and I wrote down all the feelings that I was feeling because of this person. How was she making me feel? And I wrote down she was making me feel inadequate. She was making me feel like I couldn't make a good decision, like I wasn't smart enough for the job, all these things that she was making me feel. And so then I said to myself, who am I making feel this way? And as soon as I asked that question, I had my answer. And though a friend of mine was going through a hard time in her life, trying to make decisions about how she was going to go forward, and we would talk on the phone, and every time she would come up with an idea she thought might be a positive approach for her, I would tell her she didn't, you know, I'd act like she didn't know what she was talking about, and I had the idea she needed to take. And it was very patronizing, and I realized I was doing that. And also, when I started hearing the ideas in this book, they were changing my life, and I began to think that if they were changing my life, they were right for everybody. And my attitude was a little bit like, you know, what's the matter with you if you don't get it? And so after I realized that I was doing this, then I was in the position of power of doing something about it and changing the attitude and looking at it differently. And so I stopped. I called my friend. I reassured her that she knew exactly what she was doing, that I had no idea what her goals were while she was here, why she came and what was involved in that, and I had complete faith in her judgment. And then I stopped telling people about the ideas unless they asked me about the ideas and wanted to know about them. Then I shared them, but I didn't try to force them on other people. And what happened was this woman stayed in my life. She was still there, and she was still behaving the same way she had before. But when I stopped my behavior of being patronizing, her behavior didn't impact me. It was as if I had this aura around me, and in my aura were all the ideas I was putting out into the universe. And if an idea came back to me that I wasn't putting out, it couldn't impact into my aura. It just bounced right off it. And this was a great awakening for me because it really told me that this is how I create my future. This is how I create my life, by putting out what I want to get back. And if I don't want to get it back, then I don't put it out, because the universe, it sends us back whatever we give, not because the universe is cruel, but because the universe thinks we want whatever we
give. The law of attraction. The universe magnetizes and pulls back the attraction that we're putting out that we can pay attention. This is just an amazing discourse between us. And as you can hear, we're halfway through the program and they need to take a commercial break. So we will ask our listeners to pause with us for a moment, but please don't go away. I'll be back with Betsy Thompson, author, transformational coach.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
You need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical
biopsy.
VMA detection
MIBG scan.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer, and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Just what is SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA specifically prepares you for the workforce.
SkillsUSA empowers students to connect with a network of people. SkillsUSA allows students to connect with business and industry, to manage their education, and to really get a feel of the real world.
SkillsUSA.
Find out more on the web at skillsusa.org.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and we are talking with Betsy Thompson, author of the fascinating book, Walking Through Illusions. And Betsy, I want to ask you to share with us a little excerpt from the book. Walk us into one of these stories.
Okay. Well, I would like to talk about the chapter by Thomas about truth, because I think that Thomas had to learn that no one else's truth had validity for him unless he lived that truth, loved that truth, and therefore understood it. And I think that this is when people always want to say, what is the truth? And I say, well, it's whatever truth you have. I mean, everyone's truth is different, and everyone has a right to their own truth. And if the only time you need to question whether you have the right truth is if your truth is not making you happy, then why are you keeping it? So if you have a truth that makes you happy and it works for you in your life now, then that's the truth you need right now.
Okay.
And Thomas was always doubting, and doubt was productive. His doubt was productive for him because it kept him searching for his truth all the time. And for a while, he looked to others as the ones who had the truth that he needed. And then Jesus told him to approach the problem differently, and instead of insisting that people give him what he needed, Thomas needed to give others what they needed, because then he would find his mirror.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I see you have almost worksheets at the end of each chapter.
Yes. And I finished the book without them and without either of the last two pages, and I just had this feeling that the book needed to have a little more love. I wanted to bring more love, and I wasn't sure how to do it. But then I got the idea of asking questions at the end of each chapter. I called it a little worksheet. And the purpose of that was to bring the ideas from the chapter into the reader's life in a meaningful way, so they could look at their own life, and they could see how the ideas in that chapter pertained to what they were going through. Because you can read a book, and then you read the end of a chapter, and you move on, and you sort of forget it. And I wanted it to be more meaningful in that way, that they could apply it to their own lives, and see how it could help them to see their own life more clearly. Mm-hmm. And then I had a next page where I wanted to share my own particular growth from the ideas in that chapter, because my life is just like everybody else's, and I've had many challenges, and I wanted to, it was my way of sort of connecting with the reader, in that, because I believe our hearts are all one. And our hearts are energy, and energy, can't be separated like things and matter can be separated. It's all together. And I wanted to feel the reader's hearts, and I wanted them to feel mine. And so that's the reason for that chapter. And I've had a lot of positive feedback from those two pages, because people like the idea of suddenly taking an idea they've heard and applying it personally to see how it's meaningful to them. And so I've had a lot of positive feedback about that, and it makes me happy that I took the extra time to do that and brought that added love to the book.
That sounds wonderful. So what I'm hearing is that in reading, Walking Through Illusions, one may be reading, but one is also encouraged to do the work.
Yes, and it's not a complicated worksheet. It's a very simple one that just asks a few questions. In terms of your own life regarding the ideas that the chapter are about. So it's not like you have hours and hours of worksheet afterwards. It's just a very brief one page, five questions to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that seems to work. The questions are asked in such a way that force the reader to say, wait a minute, maybe this is something I can do something about, what's happening in my life.
Mm-hmm. If there's one truth that you'd like to share with my readers, what would it be?
Well, be accepting of everyone's truth, because when you look at it this way, would you rather be with a miserable person who always agreed with you, or with a happy person who didn't?
Say that again.
Would you rather be with a miserable person who always agreed with you, or with a happy person who didn't?
That is deep.
But it's so clear, because obviously we want to have happy people around us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's really what the bottom line is. And if you release people to their own truth and to live their lives as they see fit instead of judging their paths, you release yourself to your own life and how to live it as you see fit. I mean, I can personally... I judged my mother for years, and all my judgment did was keep me stuck, because as I judged her, I had judgment in my heart, and it doesn't matter where that judgment is going. It's whatever you give give to others, you give to yourself. So because I judged her path and who she was, I judged myself and my path. And when I finally said to myself, my mother didn't come here to live her life for me. She came here to live her life for herself. So, you know, she it isn't up to her to make me happy. It's up to me to make me happy. And once I realized that, it was like this enormous, responsibility fell off my shoulders, and this load of muck on top of my shoulders sort of fell off and slid off, and I felt freed up to live my life the way I needed to live it. You know, as I freed her to live her life, you know, not that she wouldn't live it her way anyway, but as I freed her from my emotional judgment of having to live a life differently, I freed myself to live my life the way I wanted to live it.
So it's really about freedom,
yes.
I am hearing. Walking through illusions, if it's read with the openness of the heart, and if we engage the exercises outside of that judgmental place, that it can, in fact, lead to freedom.
Yes, because I was always judging, you know, from the age of 5 when I first had this, knew I had this gift, I was judging it as wrong, mostly because at five, I was talking to my great-grandmother, and I thought everybody could do it. I mean, if I could do something, everybody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to my sister, I told her what I was doing and asked her who she spoke to. And, her reaction was my first indication of how the rest of the world was going to view this gift. So I thought I must be doing something awful. And I stopped doing it. And it wasn't until the middle of my life when I said, wait a minute, this is who I am. I have to honor who I am. I have to be who I am and who I came here to be. I have to give myself the freedom to express the gift I came here to express. It wasn't until then that everything in my life changed. And so we don't know what other people need to do while they're here. We don't know what their goals are, what they've been through in a past lifetime or past experience. We don't know that. So how can we possibly judge that they're living something wrong? I don't know what my mother was living before she came into this lifetime. So how would I know what her goal was this time, what she needed to live and what she needed to go through? And so after I released that judgment, my whole life, the judgment left my life.
Mm-hmm. Very, very, very powerful advice that comes directly out of your own personal experience. Because spirituality is really about the experiences that we have and what we take away from those experiences, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's all about the growth of the spirit. I mean, it's all about acknowledging who we really are. I mean, I would love for people to from reading this book to know more about who they really are inside. I mean, we are all energy, and energy cannot be created or destroyed. And if everything is God, then we have this God inside ourselves, and we have to honor who we are. I mean, we all came here for a specific reason, to be is to learn something, to express something, to share something. And if you prevent yourself from sharing what it is you came here to share, how can your life be fulfilling?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to allow yourself to be who you are, to be proud of who you are, to honor who you are, and to stop worrying about how other people might react to it. I mean, who cares? You know, if you're happy and you're expressing yourself and you're fulfilling your life, what does it matter what other people are thinking about it?
Very good advice. Very good advice. My time flies when you're having fun.
I had to go through this with my own family because my sisters don't understand what I'm doing. They don't care about what I'm doing. They have their own focus. And I have to say, well, and that's fine. You know, you don't have to agree with people to love them. And this has been it's been a great lesson for me. My children are interested in what I'm doing, but the rest of the family is not. And that's fine.
And that's okay, and I'm very familiar with that process. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back to summarize and to wrap up all that we've been saying right now. Be back in a moment.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Mom, my tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I get to be a deciduous tree.
You live for the first in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and I am so happy that you're here, and I'm sure you are enjoying this interview as much as I am. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, and amassing a wealth of information as we talk with Betsy today about walking through illusions. Betsy, you have referred to the gift several times. Tell my listeners what that gift is.
Well, I brought it up briefly when I said about talking to my great-grandmother. My mother had been very fond of her grandmother and my great-grandmother, and she talked about her all the time, and she told me how much I looked like her. And so I thought, well, I'd like to see if she was like me in other ways. And so I began to speak to her at night, and she responded. And
first of all, I'm assuming here that your great-grandmother had already passed.
Yes, she had passed a couple days before I was born. And so I thought that everybody had this gift, and then when my sister let me know in no uncertain terms that everybody didn't have this gift, and then I let it go. And then at nine or so, Ouija boards came out as a hot new board game, and our family got one. My sisters and I sat down and tried to play, and they got bored really quickly, and then I was the only one playing on this board. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute, this is something I got in trouble for before, so I stopped doing it too. And so then it wasn't until I was really in California and halfway through my life that I re-acknowledged this gift of being able to speak with spirit. And so that is the gift that I have, that being able to give hear spirit and to write out what I hear. And my life really changed after that. And I was just looking through the book, and I opened it at this page, page 181, and I have written down here, the greatest achievement you'll ever reach is to love and accept yourself. And that's when my life changed. And there's a little personal insight. Do I have time to read that?
Sure.
Okay. I believe that God is a power within, not a power that is only met upon death. If that's true, it simplifies things, don't you think? No more dialogues about whose God is valid and whose God is not, since every soul is equally valid. No more wars in the name of God, since God is you, me, and everyone. No more posturing that God told me to do this and God told me to do that, since God isn't separate from the speaker. No more worries about taking the name of God in vain, since you might as well be cursing yourself. No more religions claiming that they have the one true path, since every path that offers a person love is the path of true redemption. No more guilt for breaking God's rules, since the rules we have are the ones we've given ourselves.
Wow. Wow. Betsy, it's been such a pleasure. Such a pleasure being with your spirit. You have a very light spirit. And so now I would like you to let my listeners know how they can get in contact with you, how they can purchase this amazing book, Walking Through Illusions.
They can go to my website, which is www.betsythompson.com. That's B-E-T-S-Y, Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.com. And from there, they can purchase the book at Amazon. I have a link to Amazon. I also have a link to my blog, which tells about some of my personal growth. And I have a link to LinkedIn and to Twitter and to Facebook and to YouTube.
Wow. Repeat that website again for us.
www.betsythompson.com.
Okay. It's been a pleasure, Betsy.
Thank you. It's been wonderful being here with you.
Thank you. I wish you much joy on your journey. Seems to me you've already stepped your foot on the pathway of joy. And I wish you much joy upon your journey and much success with this book that is so, so, so needed for the world so that we can continue to understand that we're walking through the illusion and that truth is relative as we walk through the illusions. Thank you so much. Appreciate your responding. And I know I've certainly enjoyed the interview today.
Thank you. I'm delightful to be here and you're a wonderful host.
Thank you. Listeners, I'm sure that you have gained as much as I have today in this interview. I would encourage you to go out and get your hands on a copy of Walking Through Illusions. As we wrap up today's session, I'd like to remind you, first of all, that we are broadcasting on March the 11th, 2011. It's a day that brings a tremendous amount of energy onto the planet. It is a day that has expressed an element of the rebirthing of the earth. And once again, I'd like to extend sympathy and to let the Japanese people know that we are very much sending them light and love and the mercy, the gift of mercy that will see them through this experience. It's an experience that reminds us that the earth is rebirthing and it is requiring of each and every one of us to stop and to walk through the illusions in front of us so we may come out the other end in this place of joy and bliss and peace. Want to remind you that tomorrow is my circle day. If you're listening to my voice in the greater Washington, D.C. area, our circle, monthly circle, comes together tomorrow, Saturday, March the 12th. And we are at Seekers Church in Tacoma Park. If you are within the community in which the Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C. community in which we conduct circle, please feel free to come and join us. You will meet a collection of people who are all on the path of journeying on the path to higher consciousness. A reminder that peace and light and bringing more love onto the planet is what we are all here to accomplish. So in your journeys, laugh much, laugh aloud much, send forth mercy and engage peace, and allow your heart to become as light as a feather as you journey on this path of higher consciousness. Walk softly, gently on the earth, for you argued for your right
to be born. And now that you're here in the middle of the transcendence, be joyful. Until next week, this is Reverend Norton.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.